Who's ready for the word of the Lord? Yeah. So am I. Now let it splash upon you. And then as we're encouraged, as hope rises, because we're not here for a ceremony. We're not here to tick a box to say, oh, I went to church today. We're here to honor God and have an encounter with God. So you've got to position yourself, receive the word, and then let's see what God does afterwards. Could you put your hands together for Far as she comes to minister the word?
Thank you very much, Pastor David. All right, I was listening to your communion message and thinking, oh, okay, he's preaching it for me already. So that is good. I'm not going to fluff up. We're just going straight into the word, okay? Yeah? We are after an extraordinary encounter this morning. And so I want to take you through three things that you require to get that extraordinary encounter with God. And I'll take you through some stories that we have in history. And I'm sure some of those are quite familiar to you in your own personal journey. And if you're hearing them for the first time, even if it's for the 10th time, may it just stir something up in you. May it revive your faith one more time. And just lean in and surrender completely to God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are here now. We are here now. And we know you're present. And so we ask you, Almighty God, to speak to every single person in this place. For those who are listening online, I pray, God, in their living rooms, in their bedrooms, wherever they are, Holy Spirit, be present. Let them see you clearly. I pray today, God, we all get to see you clearly. You still show up. So I pray that you show up today. And move and transform things in our lives like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. So we live in a world where we start to have a lot of reasoning. We've got explanations for everything that's going on in our lives. I love a good education. But the sad bit about the world we live in today is we have an explanation for everything. Yeah? To the point where even our explanation is wrong. An example would be, you are sick. You pray for sickness. But in actual fact, you are under torment for your finances because your finances are just being chewed up in medical bills. See how that happens? You look for a job. On your way to get a job, the car breaks down. You look at it as, my car broke down. So you pray just for that. But in fact, that's not the problem. The problem is something even deeper that you don't understand. And it is only when you lean in and trust God that He shows up in those situations you cannot explain. We all should stop finding reasoning in our situations, because they're beyond us. Simple or big, they're beyond us. It doesn't matter how simple it is. It could be a headache. It's beyond us. Humanity wants to explain God. We can't do that. How do we explain a man dying on the cross for us? How do we explain that? Humanity can't do that. So this morning, as you trust God, as we go through the tunnel of fire, quit rationalizing your problem. Just go in with faith, with a heart that is willing to receive what God is going to do for you. Amen. Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I'm tired of laboring in vain. I'm tired of working without results. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of praying without results. Amen. So this morning, I will take you through the names of God and how God showed up. But the first thing we're going to do today is total surrender. Say to someone, total, total surrender. Oh, come on. Total, total, whatever. It's an or. Okay. Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord not with some, but with all your heart. Yeah? Those things that we have hidden in our hearts, we're giving it to God this morning. Lean not on your own understanding. Yeah? Let God sweep through everything in your life today. Everything. Your family, your finances, your children, even your great-grandchildren that you don't have today. You want them to serve the Lord. So go there in prayer this morning. I'm going to take you through Exodus 17. And this is where Jehovah is, God is described as Jehovah Nissi. That is the name that is given to God in that very moment. In Exodus 17, we see right there, Moses, I'll read from verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight the Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the mount of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." It is a story of victory. But it is not a story of victory for one person only. They all participated. And so I say this almost every time I speak to you. Your attitude when coming to church should not just be of yourself receiving, but of participation in the lives of others as well. Because everyone is going through one battle or another. So when we sing songs of praise, when we worship, when we pray, believe not just for yourself, but also be attentive to when God speaks to you. Right? In this same story, we see Moses had to lift his hands up. Right? If we all could lift our hands up, I wonder how long we will last. Yeah? Not long. We need the other people to keep us up. Right? We need each other. And this is what we're doing through the tunnel of fire as well. Lifting each other up in praise. Right? For victory. Right? And this is what God required of them, to raise that rod and keep it up. To keep it up. Trusting God that the war will be fought. They didn't have to fight it. God was going to do it. And that's what we're doing this morning. Just trusting and lifting our hands in praise and simply saying, "God, this is all I have. This is my flag. This is my banner of praise. And this is all I have, God." And the people around us will worship and sing with us as well as we declare victory. Amen. As we declare victory. Amen. Jehovah Nissi represents victory, triumph, that God gives to his people. Whatever the battle in your life, I don't know it. I don't. But I know God wants to give you victory. Yes, God wants to give you victory. Number two, genuine passion. Genuine passion for God and the things of God. Psalm 63, 1 and 2 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." Amen. May we see God's power and glory this morning. Yeah? And there's a very incredible story of God appearing to Abraham, showing him from the beginning to trust him. He says, leave everything that you have and I'll show you a land that I want you to go into. And he trusts God. God goes even further to say, look, I'm going to bless you with a son. And he still trusts God. Total surrender demonstrated by Abraham in that moment. But here is where it gets tricky. God requires him to give him back his son, to sacrifice his one and only son. How many of us are willing to let go of our comfort? How many of us are willing to let go of the blessing God gave you before to see even bigger miracles in your lives? It's tough. It's tough. I remember coming out to Australia thinking, oh, I'm going to the milk of land and to the land of milk and honey. And I'm so expectant for this big, great job. And I got it. But I had to let it go because I had to take care of my kids. And that is the blessing that God had given me, that I really felt the need to be there and present for them, to give them something that I personally missed out. It's not for everyone, but I had to humble myself and think, oh my goodness, all those qualifications, God. I worked so hard for them, but had to let go. And I'm enjoying it. Tough. These kids, tough. Tough. Oh yeah, when they start driving, even harder. I pray for mercy every day. But I am grateful. I am grateful. I don't know what God has blessed you with that is requiring you to give back to him. For some, it's finances that he requires you to give. For some, it's time that he requires you to give him back so that he can do an incredible miracle in your life. Amen? In that very moment, we go to Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called out to called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, because Abraham has gone up the mountain with his son as he's been instructed by God to go and sacrifice his son. And his son even asks him, so where is the ram? And he says, God will provide. Why? Because he had been trusting God before. He had let go of everything before. So he knows God shows up. And I know you know that God shows up. You all know God shows up. So he did that. He let go and then he's ready to slaughter his son right there. And he says, the angel says, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. Ooh, that's a tough one. Ooh, fear God. The beginning of all wisdom. Yeah? Fear God. Reverence for God. Amen. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son. And I know this is a story also that resembles Jesus Christ being the only son of God sacrificed for our sins. But just imagine what Abraham would have been telling his wife going up that mountain. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. But he obeyed. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. What do you need God to provide for you this morning? What do you need God to provide this morning? Amen. God is not just a provider of physical needs. He's also a provider of strength. He's also a provider of courage. He's also a provider of hope and character. You cannot fix your character. Only God can. We get saved. We're expected to live a holy life the next day. How hard is that? Ask a drug addict to do that. How hard is that? It's tough. But God can provide redemption. God can provide character. Trust Him. Trust Him. Amen. And the third thing we're going to do this morning is worship. Pastor Raju preached a very beautiful message on worship. And if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it. Because I'm just building up from that one. Worship is a lifestyle. But worship is just that presence of God, waiting on God, patiently, patiently waiting on God. We're in a world of swipe left, swipe up, scrolling everything. Everything is so quick and accessible that we pray a prayer, we expect a miracle instantly. He's still the God of miracles and instant miracles. Also instant miracles. But for some things, you have to worship a little longer. Worship a little longer. Just wait in there, linger in there. And worship is beyond songs. We sing all these beautiful songs, but I tend to go and look at the author of the song and what's their story. Because they've written that song out of their story, out of their own miracle. Yeah? So I tend to go and actually look at those songs as well. What is your song? What is your song? God requires us to sing a new song every morning. What is your song? Sometimes God gives you a one-liner. You just have to wait on that one line and just sing, holy, holy, holy. That's all He requires of you. And just do that. We all know when God does the incredible things. He does it in the most insane circumstance. All the miracles we've seen in the Bible are ones that you look at and think, what were the people around them thinking? Yeah? When God requires you to worship, forget the people around you. Forget the people around you. When God shows up and requires you to kneel down, that's what you're going to do. When God shows up and He requires you to run, you're going to run. Because that's what He requires of you. Yeah? But you can't do it when you come to church if you don't do it in your house. We expect some kind of order in church because that's how church is today. But church is your lifestyle. It's your lifestyle. Worshiping every day. A couple of weeks ago, God woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning to pray. I said to Taps, we've got to pray. I just feel in my heart, we've got to pray. I didn't know what I was praying for, but I just felt to just thank God to brace us for what was about to happen. And we prayed. Lo and behold, as soon as we woke up in the morning, there was text message after text message from all our clients. They're trying to pay bills in our accounts. They can't access our accounts. Our accounts were closed. Yep. And it was also pay week. So we had salaries that needed to be paid. We had mortgage to be paid, rent to be paid, everything. And we thought, okay, we can handle. It's a human error. We can fix it. We're given 28 days for it to be fixed. Okay, we'll wait, God. And I'm driving, and the car just stopped. Oh, it's like, what else? What else? But I was able to say what else because God had prepared me. I remember calling our mechanic. He didn't have an appointment for us. He didn't have a slot to fit us in. And it's a weekend. It was Friday. And it started raining. So we dropped the car off to one mechanic who couldn't fix it. And then we had to wait for another one. And it just kept going. And the funny thing was, I was supposed to be preaching at another prayer meeting on the Friday. So you can imagine how heavy my heart was by then. But I waited on God because He had woken me up for this warfare. He had prepared me. I prayed and said, God, I don't know what I can do to fix any of this. But whatever it is, just keep bringing it on because we're still standing. We spent the week, and this was the week also going into March. We spent the week with Taps at home. And we were just looking at each other, checking in. Are you okay? Because that was all we could do. It just, everything was just crushing in our face. And we could only look at each other and say, are you okay? And we're still standing because of God. We're still standing because of God. So by the time we got to prayer and fasting and we were explaining to our kids what was going on, they were all shocked, just looking at us thinking, you're so happy, why? And we're like, yes, because God has got everything under control. The storm is not over for us yet, but we're still standing because of the grace of God. Our 28 days is not up yet. I don't even know what day it is now. But God has been faithful. God is still faithful. So here we are in Exodus 15. God takes his people out of the wilderness. He promises them this beautiful land. But they haven't got to it yet. They haven't got to Canaan yet. But they've just crossed over the Red Sea. And as they're walking in the wilderness, they forget. They forget that God is present. And they start murmuring. They start complaining. Why? Moses, you told us that you're taking us to this beautiful place. Why? Why is all of this happening? There's no water. Mind you, God has just made them cross the biggest waters. Yeah? They couldn't look at that and say, you know what? God has got us. But they complained. They whinged. Yeah, Pastor Dave talked about whinging. They whinged. We all want an answer to our situation. Why? That we forget the past miracles. May that not be us this morning. May we worship God without bitterness. God does an incredible thing in this story. And he shows them waters, the waters of Marah. And they were bitter. The waters of Marah were a reflection of their hearts. A reflection of their hearts. They've just passed through goodness and mercy, through grace. But here they are grumbling. They've seen, you know, the 10 plagues. They've seen all of that, but here they are, grumbling. We've all seen COVID, but here we are. Here we are, grumbling. We all go through seasons in our lives that if we do not reflect in the waters, we become bitter, and bitter Christians kill the church. Bitter Christians destroy families. Bitter Christians destroy anything that they put their hand on. May that not be us this morning. In this story, the Lord appears as I am the Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha. And this is a story where there is no sickness whatsoever. There is no sickness, yet he calls himself the healer, because he wants you and I to know that he will heal, not just physical, not just the physical, but more than that. He restores. That's what God does. He restores our health. He restores our relationships. He restores that which has been stolen from us. The time that has been lost while we were in the wilderness of our lives, God restores. Bitterness, anxiety builds up when we fail to worship, because we start to make up excuses, reasons, plan A, plan B, plan C. And the anxiety just builds us, builds up. God wants to heal, and starting with your mind. He wants to heal your mind so that you do not come up with solutions to your problem or your situation, but just focus on the cross. Amen. He wants to turn your bitterness into sweetness. He wants to restore your joy. Amen. We all sometimes go through things that just make us have these emotional wounds. We can't touch it, but our emotions are so destroyed. Yeah. May God heal our emotions. May God heal our emotions. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Even through spiritual battles, may He heal you. Amen. And the last one is in Judges 6:24. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Israelites have arrived in their promised land, and yet they face so much trouble. It doesn't look like what they were looking for. They arrive in their place of victory. You arrive in your place of healing. You arrive in your place of victory. And the drama begins. Life is full of drama. We don't fix our eyes on the drama. We fix our eyes on Jesus. But Gideon in this says, show me a sign, Lord. Show me a sign. So Gideon is asking, if the Lord is with us, then why do we have trouble? Didn't the Lord bring us out of Egypt? So why has He forsaken us? We all have questions that we ask. Why? Why? I've been eating healthy, yet I'm sick. Why? We have the why question, don't we? We all do. We all do. God is reminding us that He's present and He wants to give you peace. Rather than fixing your eyes on the problem and asking why, fix your eyes on Jesus and find peace. The same Jesus who sleeps in the middle of a storm, who does that other than Jesus? Yeah? That peace, may we find it. And the most incredible thing about this story is that it doesn't mean all of a sudden the war stopped, the trouble stopped. No, that's not what happened. Yet God gave them peace. In the middle of your trouble, may you find peace. Because it is only when your heart is at peace that you can truly worship. Other than that, your prayer becomes just wailing and just crying and rumbling. But when your heart is at peace, you can worship God. And worshiping God is not coming with a shopping list. Worshiping God is telling God who He is, exalting His name. He is high above any other name. He is holy. He is magnificent. He is beautiful. That is worship. It's not asking God for things. That is prayer and request. Worship is magnifying the Lord. You can only magnify the Lord when you belittle the problem. That is when you shift your eyes from the problem to God and His presence, His immediate presence. Because He has promised us, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. And so Gideon builds an altar in there as a reassurance of the Lord's peace. May we find peace this morning in all of our circumstances. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to keep going with my sermon because we want to pray. We want to pray. But this is a common scripture that we all know, and that's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd can only be effective when the sheep listen, when they are willing to listen. This morning, be an obedient sheep. Be an obedient sheep who is willing to be guided to the paths of righteousness, willing to be guided to a place where God wants you to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not for your own gain, but for his name's sake. So what we're praying for this morning is not for your own gain this morning, but for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you matter to God. God is not done with you. He's not done with you. You matter. There's a generation, there's a family, you've got siblings, you've got great-grandchildren who are waiting on you today to make that decision, to lean in and break yokes this morning. It ends with you today. You stand in the gap today for generations to come. Healing will be spoken to you today for generations to come. Amen. With the band coming up and Pastor David coming up. As we go through the tunnel of fire, may the Lord minister to us this morning. He is the great I am. He is the great I am. What do you need him to be this morning? Jehovah, your peace. Jehovah, my peace. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. May he be my healer. Jehovah, my victory. Jehovah Nisi. Can he be Jehovah, my victory this morning? As I lift up my banner of praise, let him show up for me this morning. Can he be Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Amen.
Amen. That was great. Thank you, Father.